We'll start today the reverse order of what we did last week. We'll start with Bava Metzia today. So if you recall, we have this case of Yachloku in the Mishnah at the beginning of Bava Metzia. And Tosis is not happy with this because there's a sugya of Basra that seems to apply a whole different rule. So let's take a look. The Mishnah says, Shnayim Oksim Betalis. Each one is claiming the Talis. And the Mishnah says, each one takes a Shvuah, Einli Bo Papas Michetzia, V'yachlok. The Tosis says, Maishna Tema. Maishna me'ahidi arva. So the Gemara has a case in the third parak of Bava Basra where two people are fighting over a boat, over a yacht. You know, this one says it's mine, this one says it's mine. And the Gemara says, kol the olam gavar. So that's going to be Tosis' answer. But we're going to spend a lot of time trying to understand Tosis' halam here. And in the case of Kol Diol of Gavar, whoever beats up the other guy and wins out in a physical match, he's the one who wins. It would seem that Tosis understood that Mamana Mutal Safek, that the overriding principle in the case of Mamun and the Bezdin doesn't know what to do with it, is let them call Chad Yishbar Tavosh, and everyone let them break their heads over it and Kol Diol of Gavar. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, advocates in favor of an active involvement in a psak bezdin on the part of the courts. The courts should get actively involved, and they should take the talis and split it into two. Even though at the end of the day, each one took a shvuah, but we don't really know for sure because ein li b'pachas michetzia. Although in Hilchos Shvuos, that's the way they establish the Shvuah, but as far as the claim is concerned, the claim is on the whole Talis. Mm-hmm. We don't really know that Reuven is wrong about half the Talis, but he's right about half the Talis, and Shimon the same. Could be that Reuven owns the whole Talis, or Shimon owns the whole Talis. Because at the end of the day, we really don't have any clarification. And Tosis thinks that, based on the Sugya Bava Basra, if you don't have any clarification, then the best policy to follow is a non-involvement policy, which is really what we call siluk bezdin, that bezdin should be mesalik themselves, and that's called kol diolam gavar. So Tosa, at least in the Havamina, thinks that there's no difference between shnayim ochazim, where each one is holding on to the talis, and the case of ahu arva, where no one's holding on to the arva, and there's no muchzik at all. In both cases, Tosis thinks it's mamon avuto besofek, and the best policy is a non-involvement policy, which is called kol diolam gavar. Now, if you take a look, what we did was with a partnership, we were able to produce these pages. This is from a sefer called Moreshes Moshe. And I want to thank Yechiel Prince for printing this out for us, and John was kind enough to photocopy it for us. So we have this page here. And in this page, he's going to summarize three different shitos with regard to this question of Tosfos. And one of the issues that we want to discuss here is what was the Havamina, meaning what was Tosis thinking in the Havamina. Now, before we get into the three Shitos, let's just point out that Bikushyasam, this is in the second paragraph, in their question, Mevuar shetvisas hashnayim eino machricho lifsok yachloku. That Tosis thinks that despite the fact that there's a tfisa and each one is holding on to half the talis, that's an irrelevant factor. Otherwise, Tosis has no analogy to the case of kol diolam gavar. So just understand the halavim of the Rishonim, and it's in Tosis and many, many other Rishonim, it seems that you neutralize, so to speak, or ignore the fact that there's a tfisa on the part of both Reuven and Shimon. Mm-hmm. And then what you're left with is some sort of psak. And what is that psak? If you neutralize or ignore the factor of tfisa, that each one is tofes, you're left with a psak of yachloku as a psak that's not generated by their tfisos, but just simply that's the hakra. The hakra means this is what Bezin has to do. It's almost as if, you know, tzedek tzedek tirdov, the Torah imposes an obligation upon the courts to mete out justice. In this case, the best or the optimum justice should be yachloku. Well, Tosus wants to know, well, if that's the hakra in the case of Shnayim Oksim, where the achiza and the tfisa is irrelevant, then by analogy, in the case of Ahu Arva, we should also paskin yachloku, because that's the best psak that you can come up with in this case. Now, I'm not sure in which direction we should go. And I don't know if it makes any difference. You can formulate the kasha Tosas in two ways. Tosas says maishna. He doesn't take a position as to which he thinks intuitively should be the better of the two options, whether it's yachloku or whether it's called the Yom Gava. Right now it's a toss-up. And we end up with a stira, because our Mishnah here in Bav Metzia seems to advocate that the best psak, the best achra, in a case of such a suffix would be yachloku. Whereas the sugin in Bava Basra seems to advocate that the best achra in the case of a suffix should be called the Olam Gavar, as we said, a non-involvement policy. So let's go through, first of all, Tosus's answer, and then we'll see other Rishonim. Tosus says, Yesh Loma de Ochas in Shani. Now again, I want to take a deep breath here. When he says Ochas in Shani, does he mean A or B? This is just a pedagogic tool, you know, to try to get you to be excited about the next line in Tosus, if you follow me. So you'll know the answer to my question because of the next line in Tosus. I'm not discovering America. There are two ways of understanding Ochas in Shani, and I think we're going to need the next line in Tosus to clarify. Ochas in Shani might be a non-involvement policy. Each one is holding on to after talis, and therefore we shouldn't get involved. What does that mean, we shouldn't get involved? We should freeze the situation as is, and the hakra is really not hakra at all. We're going to just split the talis because each one has an achiz on half the talis. The other way of learning it is, no, that this is a different kind of hakra. This is not the hakra of kol yom gavar. This is not the hakra of non-involvement. This is not, we have an absence, a total absence of any proof one way or the other. But on the contrary, we have a proof to support Reuven, and with his shvuah, we're going to give him half the talis because he has an achiz on half the talis. The fact that he's holding on to the half the talis, that itself is a raya, is a chacha, that he owns half the talis. And the same is true for Shimon. So let's look at the next line in Tosus. The chashuv ki ilu kol echad yeshlo ba bivadai hachetzi. Now, if that's not enough to convince you that Tosus is operating here within the framework of a raya of tfisa that proves that half of the talis is mine, because Tosus says chashuv ki ilu kol echad yeshlo ba bivadai chetzi. Now, the word bivadai would make no sense if there is in total absence of rayas. But if you have any doubts about it, look at the next part of Tosus. Tosus says, Danan Sadi. And Anan Sadi is always a raya by definition. The Kol Echad, the Maidi Tofis Haidi Dehu. And we could add another line here, Maidi Tofis Haidi Dehu. So that each one has a raya, an Anan Sadi, on that which he's Tofis. Now, if I were to ask you the following question, two people holding on to a talis, does each one have a tfis on half the talis? Or does each one have a tfis on the entire talis? What would be your knee-jerk response to that question?
They each claim it's all theirs.
But who actually has the tfis? He's saying that Maide Tofis, Anan Sadi Maide Tofis Di Dehu. Tosus is assuming that each one has a tfis on half the talis. Okay, Kol Mash Tachas Yadam Shalom. But if not for Tosus, I would have said something totally different. I would have said that each one has a tfis on the entire talis, which means we got, you know, this principle of Anan Sadi or Chazok Kol Mash Yadam Tachas is blown out of the water. I mean, there's no way you can maintain that because they both have a tefisa on the entire talus.
But that's what they're claiming. But there's a difference between a tefisa and a tevia.
Well, you're defending Tosis or my intuitive understanding without Tosis. My intuitive understanding would be that Adarava, since the claim is on the entire talus, then the tefisa is likewise on the entire talus. Do you have more of a tefisa on this talus than I do?
No.
So why not assume that the tefisa is on the entire talus? For each one of them who's claiming the entire talus, if that be the case, then I don't understand Tosis. Tosis using a vados on behalf of each one of these claimants on half the talus, that's not true.
There's no point in holding on to half a talus. Nobody wants half a talus.
Okay, but I'm with you on that. But Tosis seems to say that each one is holding on to half the talus. Why? Because Tosis wants to apply the universal principle of tefisa as a raya, that the fact that I'm holding X means it's mine. It didn't just fly down from Shemayim into my Rishus. I mean, if you have something like a bird, maybe a bird would fly into my Chatzar. Maybe that wouldn't prove a thing. That's called Gojos, if we ever get a chance to talk about that. But here that I'm holding on to an inanimate object, the fact that I'm holding on to half the talus means that half is mine. And that's a pel of a chidush of Tosis, that the fact that I'm holding on to half the talus proves that half the talus is mine, when you're holding on to the talus just as well as I am, and you're claiming the entire talus is yours. So Tosis somehow wants to reconcile the two tefisos here, and he says each one has a tefis on half the talus. I mean, that's not intuitively correct. I would say each one has a tefis on the entire talus.
Yes.
Now this might have to do with a sugya later on called Karkashta. Do you remember that? The Gemara has two possibilities in our Mishnah. Is it that each one is holding on to the corners of the talus, or each one is holding on to half the talus mamish? Which way do you think Tosis is going? If he's using a chazok as a raya, you know, tefisas raya on half the talus on behalf of both Reuven and Shimon. Each one is holding on to half the talus. It can't be that, according to Tosis, each one is holding on to the corner of the talus. Because the corner of the talus would probably mean that if he has a tefisa at all, which you can question, it's a tefisa on the entire talus. Right? Because let's say you're holding on to the corners of the talus and you can lift up the talus into the air. Mm-hmm. For example, in Kinyan Akbar, we find such a thing. Like, let's say you have a talus that's wrapped around a pillar. And what you do is you pull up the half talus that's on the ground, so you really only lift up the corners of the talus, but that's considered a hagbah in the entire talus. So it could be that if I have a tefis on the corners of the talus, then my tefis is on the entire talus. But the problem is that you have a corresponding tefis on the entire talus, and therefore I would say Kol Yom Gavar should be the best psak, because we really have no clue whatsoever. No one has an Anan Sadi. There's no Vaday. There's no Ochocha. Why not apply the principle of Kol Yom Gavar? But Tosa's name, this is not Kol Yom Gavar, because the Ochazin Shiny, the Ochazin means that he has half the talus under his control. He's literally physically holding or controlling half of the talus. That's called Tachas Yodo. And that allows me to trigger off the principle of an ansadi, the mighty tofis didehu, that what he's holding on to is his. And it's a very odd halach over here, that Reuven has a tefis on half the talus, and Shimon has a tefis on half the talus.
The word bevadai there seems to imply at least.
You want to reinterpret the word bevadai, but how can you say it's at least when he says an ansadi? Your Anansadi is not at least. Anansadi means he's got two eight.
Yeah, but Anansadi is not saying at least. And Anansadi is backing up and saying, okay, whatever his hand is on, I'm with that.
Right. But I'm just saying that if you read Tosis as one, I mean, maybe you want to chop up Tosis into parts, but I'm saying if you read Tosis as one full sentence, nonstop, he's saying that since there oksim choshev kiu kol echad yeshlo ba bevadai hachetzi, and why is it a vadai on chetzi? The answer is an ansadi, and he's applying the universal principle of chazaka in metaltalin that kol mashiach yado tax yadam shalom. So this vadai I would take very seriously, and I would in conjunction with the phrase an ansadi. And it's going to be the Gemara is going to take this to such an extent that we're going to apply the principle of Rav Chiya, which means that there's no Shvuas Modu B'Miktzas. Why? Because that which you're holding on to, I already gave it to you. It's already given to you. Right? Modu B'Miktzas means that I agree on half of the claim, and I'm holding on to that half of the claim, I'm going to give it to you. But Rav Chiya says if you already gave it to someone, then you no longer take a Shvuas Modu B'Miktzas. That's going to be the famous Shita called Rav Chiya Kamaisa. And that's called Halach. Are you familiar with that word, Halach?
Yeah.
Halach means here, take it. So for example, you claim from me two objects, right? Well, what example can I give? Two rings, right? And I take one ring and I said, here, I'm throwing it into your rishus. So Rav Chiya says, I don't take a shvu on the other half. I was modu b'miktzas. The answer is Halach means, modu b'miktzas means I'm holding on to half, which I'm about to give to you, but I haven't given it to you yet. And then I have to take a shvuah based on this hodah on the other half that I was kofram. But if I already gave it to you, this, and the Gemara is going to say in the case of shnayim oksim betalis, why is there no shvuas modu b'miktzas? That's because he already gave him half the talis.
Yet his taina is that it's kula shali.
Right, but since this aloch of ochazin shiny, and ochazin shiny means that even though I'm claiming kula shali, but you have a raya, an anansadi, a vados, that you owe me half of the talis, I can yell and scream from now till doomsday, it's kula shali, but I've already given you, in effect, the half the talis. In other words, there's no din in dvarim on half the talis. Why? Because the chazok establishes that you own half the talis. I can scream until Mashiach tzeit, and it's not going to help me. And Tosis takes this very literally, very seriously. Now, obviously, according to Tosis, it becomes crystal clear that our Mishnah and the Sugya of Ahu Arva are on two polar extremes. Tosis in the Avamina equated them with a perfect analogy, and now Tosis is saying they belong to two polar extremes. Because from the case of Vadai, which means that each one has a Raya, we're going to the other extreme where nobody has a Raya. And it's just diburim ba'alma. Each one claims it's my boat. Tomorrow, a third guy is going to come along and he's going to claim it's his boat. Why not jump onto the boat? And everybody's going to keep claiming this. There's no special malyusa here to the first two guys, Reuben and Shimon, who are claiming it. It's total head there rayos. In other words, in our Mishnah, we have two rayos, each one on half the talis, and it's an ansadi. Don't compare that, says Tosis, to the case of Ahu Arva, because in the case of Ahu Arva, there are no rayas whatsoever. I mean, it's just diburim bialma. You know, how do we say words are cheap? What's the phrase in English?
Talk is cheap.
It's just talk. Tomorrow we're going to have Levi come in and claim, you know, he also talks. You know, it's like Reuben and Shimon did not have a monopoly on talking. So what is this, Kolakotim Zohar? You know, because Reuben and Shimon got to business before Levi did, or Yisachar? So we really have two polar extremes. Do you see that polar extreme?
Yeah, I see it. But I know this has to do with Dror de Mamona, and I can't figure out what.
No, I don't think so. I would not...
I mean, each one
holding on
to half of a talus means...
No, that's not
that
a Dror de
Mamona. Obvious taina to Beisdin right now.
No, not really. I'll tell you why. Dror de Mamona means that there was some situation that arose in the past. Dror de Mamona is always a situation where we have ownership that's already been established before they come to Beisdin. Here, no one has ownership claims. Because we don't know exactly what the history of this talis. Maybe you lent me the talis. Maybe I borrowed it. Maybe I'm a shomer chinam on your talis.
So that's more in the case of a machlif par b'chamor b'yelda.
Correct. We know that the par belonged to you, and at point X. And now
and
we find...
What we don't know is when the calf was born.
Right, so we find a Vlad, and the situation is such that the Vlad either was born before the Kenyan or after the Kenyan, but there are two people who are claiming, based on this Kenyan and an objective reality, that they own it. If we could only clarify, you know, if we had a videotape, we would know exactly when this... Now they have videos that add the date.
That's Dror de Mamona.
That's Dror de Mamona, right.
Okay,
if you take a look for a moment... At Tosfos here on Daf Beis Amid Beis, Dror de Mamona Pirush, you see that? The first of the Oh, the full wide wide
one. That fast.
Oh, because you have it on a computer.
I'm on my phone. I don't have a phone.
Oh, I see. Oh yeah, we'll get another Gemara, but it should be another one in the. So, Jorah de Mamona. It's just all you have to hear is three or four words. Below Tanius, exactly.
Yeah.
So that doesn't apply here because who knows? You know what's going on. I might be a shomer for you, and you might be a shomer for me. Uh-huh. However, there is a case that's very similar to Jorah de Mamona, which now Tosfos is going to address, and that's the case called Mana Shlishi. So what happens in the case of Mana Shlishi? Reuven and Shimon were both mafkid in the hands of Levi, one mana, and the other one, we don't know who he is, of the two guys, was mafkid two manas, right? Masayim. Oh, now you have a gemara if you want to use that. It's good. I see John is a tzaddik. Now, in mana Shlishi, you could argue that we don't know at all who owns the Mana Shlishi. We really don't know at all. There's no raya on the Mana Shlishi. You agree with me on that? Again, Tosis is going to throw a revolutionary monkey wrench here to explain Mana Shlishi, but I always like to understand intuitively, you know, first, and then I think you'd agree with me, I hope, I can convince you, that intuitively, Mana Shlishi is like the case of Ahu Arva. Again, it's all against Tosis, but I want to show you the revolutionary Chiddush of Tosis, because if not for Tosis, intuitively, Mana Shlishi is like Ahu Arva. Well, nobody has any proofs.
Just to explain what Mana Shlishi
means. Oh yeah, Mana Shlishi means there's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon both gave Levi a sum of money to watch. So Levi is now the shomer on behalf of two mafkidim. So there's mafkid called Reuven and there's mafkid Shimon. When it comes time to collect their bags of money, so Levi now is confused which one of them gave not one mana, was mafkid two mana. So one mana he can give to Reuven, one mana he can give to Shimon. That's undeniable, that's unquestionable. When he gets to the Mana Shlishi, you know, Reuven says it's mine, and Shimon says it's mine, and go flip a coin. You know, Levi has no clue. There are no riots one way or the other. Does anybody have a proof? Well, it's mine. In the case of Shnayim Oksim, on each half, each one has a proof, according to Tosis, that half is mine.
As a tfisa.
Because of his tfisa. But in the case of Mana Shlishi, no one has a tfisa on the Mana Shlishi. Again, you can talk about Jorah de Mamona and things like that, but a physical tfisa, who has a tfisa to say that Mana Shlishi is mine? Basically, nobody has a raya. It's like Ahu Arva. Ah, it's different than Ahu Arva, because Ahu Arva is talk. Talk is cheap, right, in Ahu Arva. Anybody can come tomorrow and say, well, that's my boat. In the case of Mana Shlishi, no one in the world, except for Reuven and Shimon, has even a mild chance in a million to have a claim on this Mana Shlishi. So in that sense, we are limiting the Mana Shlishi to the two Tovim, meaning the Mafkid of number one Reuven, we call the Mafkid number two Shimon. So in that sense, it's different than Ahu Arva. There's a lot more than just talk over here. But is there a Raya? In other words, if Reuven is claiming against Shimon that that Mon is mine, Shimon is counter-arguing against Reuven, that Mon is mine, the third Mon, then does anybody, Reuven or Shimon, have a Raya? I would say flip a coin. That's funny. Let's say the Mon of Shlishi was a coin. Flip a coin. And when we want to flip a coin, then which principle applies? Yachloku or Kol Yom Gavar? According to Tosfos. When you want to flip a coin, again, I repeat my question.
It's not Mamon HaMutal B'Safek. It's not a Safek. It's a Vadai. We just don't know whose it is.
But again, you know, when you say Safek and Vadai, the Safek and Vadai has to be appropriate for the two Tovim. There's one Tovim and there's another Tovim. Is that a Safek or a Vadai? As far as the Tovim are concerned, again, if a third guy comes in, you know, see, Suffolk comes in and claims that's my mana, there's no Suffolk, you're right. But as far as Reuven and Shimon, and they're fighting it out, they're battling it out in court, who owns the Mana Shlishi? Is there any Raya? Is there any...
No.
I would say it's a pure Suffolk. I call that flip a coin. Let me try to be more, you know, I'm using my own very subjective phrases and terminology, and you may have no clue what I mean. When I use the term flip a coin, What I mean is that why should Beis Din get involved in something that they cannot clarify? That's the job of Beis Din, is to weigh the evidence and the claims and counterclaims one against the other. If you get to a point where it's a total stalemate and neither one of the two claimants has any leg to stand on, again, they have a great leg to stand on to the exclusion of the whole Welt, but as far as Reuven against Shimon and Shimon against Reuven is concerned, what kind of claim do they have? I mean, they have a claim, I'm not saying no, but the claim is not backed up by anything. I mean, the statistical probability that that one of Shlishi belongs to Reuven is exactly the same as Shimon. That's what I call flip a coin. Why should Beis Din get involved? You have two people claiming a boat. So what does the Gemara say? No one has a raya. Call the Olam Gavar. Is anyone holding on to the boat? Who's holding on to the Mona Shlishi? Levi is holding on to the Mona Shlishi.
But we always say that a shomer is holding on to it on behalf of the matkid.
Excellent.
Therefore, the matkid is muksa.
Okay, so look. You know, when I present a sugya and I tell you intuitively what I think, I assume you know nothing. You know, I didn't know you're the biggest Talmud Chacham on the face of the earth. So that you know a lot more than I play a game, that's the way I teach, in which I always assume nothing, you know. So your revolution is in the next line in Tos. The Tos says the following: Mona Shlishi is exactly the same as Yachloku in Shnayim Oksim Betalis. V'chein b'mona shlishi d'medami b'gemara l'talis. Now this is interesting. A Tosis doesn't just say it off, you know, off the cuff. You know, it's not just a Tosis in a good mood to say that mona shlishi is similar to Shnayim Oksim, but he says the Gemara itself later on Daf Beis Amid Beis is going to make this comparison. And it's mostly on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara starts on Daf Beis Amid Beis, but the Mona Shlishi case is really taken on head on in Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. And why does the Gemara equate Mona Shlishi with Talis? And the answer is Choshev Ahu Shanifkad Tofes Bechezkas Shneim. I think the word Ahu is referring to the Mona Shlishi. So let's see if that works. We can cross out the word Ahu and instead put in the word Mona Shlishi. So that Mona Shlishi is Bechezkas Shneim. To what extent? I mean, Tos really spells it out. Ki ilu heim atzma muchzakim bo. It's as if they each one are holding on to it.
Each one is holding on to whatever they gave him, actually. They're not muhzakim but mana shlishi. Only one of them gave mana shlishi.
That's what I'm telling you. This, even after your chiddush, that the shomer, yad shomer ki yad malabais, it's still a pell of a chiddush, because Tos wants to say that each one, Reuven and Shimon, both have a chazaka. I mean, that's not the case of Shnayim Oksim v'Talis. In Shnayim Oksim v'Talis, your chazaka is on something other than what I have a chazok on, and vice versa. Your chazok is on the northern half of this talis. Mine is on the southern half of the talis. Here, both of them have a tfisa on the same mona shlishi. And that's a pella. I mean, that's not Shnayim Oksim. There's something going awry here. The equation of Tosis, which he bases on the equation of the Gemara, is not accurate. It's not a foolproof equation. To say Choshev Hahu Shan Nifkad Tofes, that Mona Shlishi with the Nifkad is Tofes, the Shomer is Tofes, is Bechezka Shneim. To what extent? Ki ilu heim atzmam muchzakim bo. Now again, if you buy into Tosis' theory and you take this to its logical conclusion, what psak should be appropriate for Mona Shlishi?
Yachlok? If they're both equal.
And that's exactly the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara is asking, why is it that in Shnayim Oksim v'Talis you say Yachloku, and in Mona Shlishi you say Yemunach, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So why not apply the principle of Yachloku? Tos says the underlying logic of the Gemara is that Mona Shlishi is exactly the same as Shnayim Oksim v'Talis. just like in Shnayim Oksim, each one is holding on to half the talis, and that proves that it's his. Bevada, Yanan Sadi, etc. So too, the Nifkat is holding on to the Mona Shlisha on behalf of both of them, and each one now has a Tfisa. I mean, again, Yosef is right. He's holding on to one of, on behalf of one of them. He just doesn't know which one he's holding on to, but on whose behalf is he holding on to the Mona Shlisha. But Tosis says, Ahu, Wow, that's pretty wild. Now I'm just going to take a minute, if you don't mind, to, you know, the back of the Masifta, they have something called the Urei Atosfos. 99 of 100 times it doesn't help me, but just in case, let me just see. Yeah. He says the following. He says, "Umedame b'gemara suffik zel is suffik talis." Okay, dalo tzir shnei asveikos talis u'mon shlishi shavahu. Both scenarios are equal. Umadu b'talis adinu yachlok u'mon shlishi adinu yemunach, and to justify the underlying assumption, the Gemara's question, the Gemara's analogy, what's the analogy between the two? Lefi dechashiv haGemara, the Gemara assumes lahud anifkad shomer asamana v'tofis bo bechezka shneim klomar she shomer hu asamana l'shneim v'ze chashiv ki ilu heim atzmam Mukzakimbo. Lachain Hikshsa Gemara, Maishna Hach Betals Paskinan Yachloku Maishna Bidmanishlishi Paskinan Yemuna. Big disappointment. Again, I shouldn't say big disappointment because I didn't really expect anything. Look, I think I could say this. I mean, I don't want to go on record as saying this, but Biurei Tosfos is basically Taichverta. You know, it doesn't really give you any deeper meaning. If I would have been on the panel or on the on the VAD to publish Biurei HaTosfos, I would have demanded a much more thorough job. You know, you're not helping much by translating the words. I'm not that dumb that I can't translate the words. I'm looking for some insight. Yeah, how could you say these tofes, that the Nifkat is tofes b'cheska shneim? How can you say such a thing?
Why don't we just say meaning that each one individually is muchzak in what he actually gave the nifka.
But that's not similar to talis. In talis, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm muchzak on something that this, that, the other. I'm muchzak because I'm muchzak, and it's mine because Chazak approves that it's mine. Here, in the case of Mona Shlishi, can you apply the same yardstick and say, I'm muchzak, and that proves that it's mine?
But if someone were holding on to part of a garment, and I don't mean the fringes, I mean the middle of the garment, near the middle of the garment, we would say that he has the garment.
But that's not what Tosfos says. Tosfos doesn't say that he has the garment. Tosfos says, I know that it's his. How can you say those same words in the case of Mona Shlishi, that I know that it's his? First of all, again, I don't know, technically, I don't know how you can say the Nifkat is holding it on behalf of both. That's not exactly.
He's holding it on behalf of each one. That's 100 and this one 200.
But that's not, he's talking about the Mona Shlishi. He's saying the Mona Shlishi is holding on behalf of both of them. Again, he wants to say, why he wants to understand why the Gemara thinks that the Mona Shlishi should be subject to the Psak of Yachloku. And it's exactly the same as Shnayim Oksim. The Mona Shlishi is Shnayim Oksim. Why? Because the Tfisa, the Achiza here is a vicarious Achiza. I'm considered a Tofes because you're the Nifkat, because you're the Shomer. And Choshev Kilu HaNifkat Tofes Becheska Shneim. I mean, I understand why he would beat the living daylights out of a third party if Yisachar came in to try to grab the Mona Shlishi. That I understand. But to say that there's a Tfisa here through the Shomer of Reuven and a Tfisa of Shimon and equate it now with Shnayim Oksim v'Talis, that's really unfair. he's holding it on behalf of someone. He doesn't know who he's holding it at, but to say that both of them have a tefisa vicariously through the tefisa sanifka, that's a far... But even if I would somehow grant you that, if I could somehow jump over that big gap, and I still am in the dark over here, because where's the raya? Where's the Adan Sadi? In Shnayim Osin, Tosus says the secret of Anan Sadi, I'm sorry, the secret of Yachloku is Anan Sadi. Bivada Yeshlo Bochetzi, and I'm going to apply that to both of them. And there's no stira in saying that each one has Chetzi. And what's the raya? The fact that he's holding on to half the talis. That's a far stretch to the case of Mana Shlishi. To say that each one is holding on to the Mana Shlishi, and we have a Chazok and a Raya and an Ansadi, that each one has half of the Mana Shlishi, and therefore we should say Yachloku. How can you say such a thing? Where's the Anansadi? I mean, Tosis is postulating a whole new kind of Tfisa here. You know, just there's a, in a sense, you know, the Halacha recognizes a physical Tfisa. You know, I'm holding on to it because my nifkat, my shomer, is holding on to it. Okay, in this case, the fact that I'm holding on to it through my nifkat proves nothing about the fact that it's mine, because you also are holding on to it through the nifkat. The proof element is completely gone. You begin to wonder whether we misinterpreted Tosis about Shnayim Osin. Again, I don't know how to reinterpret the words of Tosis. I think we did a really good job in interpreting the words of the Tosis. But somehow you can't take Tosis literally. If you take Tosis literally, there's no way he can compare that and justify that analogy to Mana Shlishi. It must be that we have to reinterpret Tosis, that it's as if it's Bavadi, or it's as if it's an Ansadi, but it's not a real Makoy Anansadi, because if it is, what does that have to do with Mana Shlishi? I don't know. I'm very perplexed by this Tosis.
And you can't say that the sum of the Ta'anot is 300. And the shomer, since he doesn't know who's whom, he also is looking at it as a pool of 300. And each one has in it what an equal claim, because the shomer is the only aid, and he doesn't know. So we're talking about pool of ta'anot and a pool of money. Each one equals 300.
You want to say that somehow we look at the all the money, right? There's
all the money is a one.
There's the 300, right? So that's like one chefta. It's right. Like the talus.
Right. At this point, unfortunately, the shomer cannot differentiate between the 200 and the 100 person. So right. All he can do is say, "Look, I have 300. I don't know what to do." And they say, "Well, you know, I gave you 200." I mean, they're actually claiming 400.
but I simply don't understand, where's the Anan Sadi over here? I mean, in the case of you're holding on to a metal, and I understand it didn't fly from the heavens. But in the case of Mana Shlishi, we know that one of these two people is responsible for depositing the Mana Shlishi in the hands of the custodian. Well, does anybody have a better raya that should convince us that we... Tosfos says that the psak of Yachloku in our Mishnah in Ochazin is a bona fide psak b'toras vada. You see, Tosfos says it's yeshba vada. I mean,
where is the Gemara Medama?
In Anansai.
Medama the Palestinian Manashish.
Yeah, that's on Daf Gimel of Adala. You want to take a look at that?
That's what this is based on.
That's right. The Gemara says that, what about Mana Shlishi? Here, take a look. It's about, I would say, maybe 10 lines from the top. Lema Maslisin Deloka Rabbi Yossi.
Yeah, right. Rabbi Yossi says, in Kemahit Sidar Amai, Hakol Yamuna. Don't give anybody anything, because there's a liar here.
Yeah, but the Gemara is now going to correct itself and backtrack. The Gemara is going to say that the truth is, I don't understand anybody, not just the Rabbi Yossi is perplexing, but even the Rabbanon. Right, the Amri Rabbanon, Ashar Yehimunah. So the Rabbanon is going to say on the Mana Shlishi Yehimunah. So why is it that in our Mishnah, which says Yachloku, The Chachamim yet say in the case of Monash Shlishi Yei Murach. Well, why not apply the principle of Yachloku? So you have to refurbish it. Instead of Leima Maslisin to Lo Kerb Yossi, Leima Maslisin to Lo Kechachamim to Rab Yossi as well. Because the Chacham de Rav Yossi are only saying that we're going to limit the Yehi Munach to the third mon. Well, that's enough to draw the conclusion of Maslisin to lo Kechachamim. All right, let's go back for a moment to this essay. He says the following. Harishonim is Kashu. Maishnomayahi Arva. So the Rishonim all assume in their Kasha that Tfisa, now Mishnah, is not really a factor. As we said before, the Rishonim in their question at least are ignoring the Tfisa element here of Shnaim Oks and Vitalis. So whether or not it's two people claiming a Sfino or two people claiming a Talis, it's identical. Now we have three Mahalchim, three approaches to answer this question. Number one, we start with Rov Rishonim. He has a whole long list of Rishonim. Shiny Talis Shneim Ochzimba. Talis is different because of the Tfisa. In Arva there's no Tfisa. Now we have the Riva, and the Ritzba, and the Ritzbam. These are three Rishonim, but you know they don't represent, shall I say, the entire, the entire collection of Rishonim. This is a minority opinion. And what do they say? Shiny Talis. And why is Talis different? And Shiny Arva. The Ika Vadai Rama.
That's in Rana Shlishi.
Well, it's interesting because these Rishonim are using the logic of Rana Shlishi, which is only at the Maskana. The Gemara initially didn't know about Vadai Rama. Again, I think within the legal rules of how to understand the Mishnah and to reconcile the Mishnah with another Mishnah or another Sugya, you're allowed to rely on the Maskara. Even though, again, this answer would not hold water in the Habamina of the Gemara. The Gemara in the Habamina is not aware at all of Vadei Ramai. But the Maskara, the Gemara postulates that in Vadei Ramai, we do not apply the principle of Yachlok. Bezdin can't do a Chalukah when they know that the Ramai is benefiting from that Chalukah.
So that's Manashlishi and Hahu Arba.
Correct.
Because the boat doesn't belong to both of them.
Correct, whereas in the case of the Talis, it could very well be
that they both got there at the same time.
This sheet in the Rishonim will call it the Riva. They're not willing to say that we know for Vadai that each one owns half. That we're not saying. But certainly the possibility exists that each one owns half. And Achaluki Yecholios Emes, we don't have a Vadai Ramai. Now again, if you go with the answer of Tosfos, I'm sorry, the answer of the Riva of Tosfos, then you have to ask another question. What's going to be the next kasha that we have to ask? Anybody? Let's compare now the case of Arva to the case of Mona Shlishi. In both cases we have what? Vadei Ramai,
yeah.
So in both cases of Vadei Ramai, why is it then in Ahu Arva, where there's a Vadei Ramai, we're going to say Kol Yom Gavar, and in the case of Mona Shlishi, In Vadei Ramai, we're going to say Yevunach Hashiyomo Elio.
They're not Muxakim.
Well, once a second,
well,
you're a step ahead of me. I'm sorry, I'm just up to the kasha. You see, if you were the Magen Shia, you would also be stuck on the kasha. That's how, the advantage of sitting in the audience over being the lecturer. So let me just present the kasha to you. The kasha is as follows. If you're telling me that what's mafkia the psak of Yachloku, it's Vadei Ramai, and that explains why in the case of Ahu Arva we do not implement the psak of Yachloku, then instead maybe we should implement the psak of Yei Munach. Let's wait till Elio clarifies who the Ramai is. And in fact, that's what we do in the case of Manashlishi. So if Manashlishi, as the Gemara establishes, is not Yachloku because it's Vade Ramai, then what do we do in a case when there's a Vade Ramai? And the answer is, we apply the principle of Yei Munach HaChiyov Elio. Well, Tosis now, in the name of the Rivah, is classifying Ahu Arv as a case of Vade Ramai. And yet there, the Gemara says, Babasu, we say Kol Yom Gavar. Why is it that in Babasu, in the Vade Ramai of Arva, we're going to say Kol Yom Gavar, and in the Manashlishi case, which is also defined and classified as Vade Ramai, we're going to pass in that Yei Munach HaChiyov Elio? And the truth is that just intuitively, there is a certain attraction to the position of Yevuna, because Kol Yom Gavar means that one guy's a big bolvian, you know, he's a mafioso guy, so he beats the living daylights out of him. At least in the case of Eliyahu HaNavi, that's a more edel approach. Let Eliyahu clarify who's the Ramah. Again, how he's going to do that, I don't know. Maybe I'll pee Nevuah. Maybe Eliyahu has got a prophecy and he'll know, based on Nevuah, who's the Ramah.
Yes.
So Yosef answers the following. That even in the case of a Vade Ramai, we have to introduce the question of Ochazer. And we have to say the following, that we can't allow somebody to beat up somebody else who already has a Tfisa. In the case of the Svina, we're gonna apply a laissez-faire kind of atmosphere and say, let them slug each other up, you know, bang each other's heads against the wall. And that we can say because we're not facilitating any sort of mice exela, you know, which somebody is digging their hands into someone else's pocket and taking something out. But in the case of Manashlishi, if we were to apply the principle of Kol Yom Gavar, then the big zlob who's got 54-inch biceps is going to take something that's muksav and he's going to take it out of his chazocha. Again, that's all based on this premise of Tosis that the Nifkad is toe-face on behalf of both of them. Then we get to the third sheet in the Rishonim, which he identifies as the Rashba Shita. The shiny arva, the ikol and make him alei de milsa. What's unique about the first two cases of Shnayim Ochsim and Monashlishi is that we don't anticipate any clarification. Two people run after a talishal hefker and they pick it up, you know, unless you have a video camera or some sort of a referee, we can't measure, we have no way of knowing who actually might have picked up the talis first. And in the case of Manashlishi, we have no way of knowing, and even the Nifkad himself has no way of knowing who actually gave him the second mana, which is the Manashlishi in this case. That's called Lekel Mekam Alei de Milsa. But in the case of Arva, you know, we might have receipts or so from the yacht store. Have you ever been to Toronto? So you know about the boat shul.
We lived there for 3 years.
So right. So you know the boat shul on Bathurst?
Yes.
So that shul, which is like a minion factory in Toronto, used to be a yacht store where you went to buy a yacht. They call it the boat shul because they actually made it into a shul. Now they did a renovation on it. It's unbelievably beautiful now. So that's what we're talking about. So in the case of a yacht, you know, you go back to the original archive, especially now that things are in computers, you might be able to determine who actually purchased the yacht. There may be records. Well, right now we have two people who, as I said before, talk is cheap. Each one is yelling and screaming, "That's my yacht." Nobody has a proof either way. That's called Iko Lemekim Alei de Milsa. Now, to be honest with you, I have no clue. Maybe you could have you can give me some sort of insight. Why the Rashba would say that in the case of Iko Lemekim Alei de Milsa, we should apply the principle of Kol Yom Gavar? I mean, that sounds counterintuitive to me. I would have said if it's Iko Lemekim Alei de Milsa, then we should apply the principle of Yei Munach. I mean, let's wait and see. New evidence is going to come into Bezdin.
That's what Ikal Mekam La Demilsa means?
That we're anticipating some sort of clarification of the Safek. We hope that new evidence will come into Bezdin. I gave you the example of buying a yacht. If you buy a yacht, it's very probable that there's some record of that purchase in the computer, is it not so?
So the yad, that this is Harvarga, belonged to somebody at some point.
Correct.
Somebody's going to come and say, I have another star.
A yad is not hefker. That I can promise you. Yeah. No one's mafker a yad. The yad is worth thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. So there was an owner of this yacht. Nobody made it hefker. The question is, who purchased it? And there may be evidence that's outstanding. We haven't gotten that evidence, but we'll eventually have it. That's called Ikal Lemeka Malay de Milsa. But the paradox to me is, because of Ikal Lemeka de Milsa, therefore we're going to let them beat the living daylights one out of the other? Call the Olam Gavar? Why not say Yei Munach? Let's wait till Eliyahu tells me what evidence comes in. Or maybe instead of Yei Munach until Eliyahu, Yei Munach Ad Sheyavo Raya. Because we do expect and anticipate some witnesses coming in to testify who actually purchased this yacht and who has a chazok of Marakam on the yacht. So what's Ikal Lemeka Malay de Milsa? I don't know why that gives you the green light to say Kol the Olam Gavar. What I suspect is the following, Rabosai, that the Rashba understands that Kol the Olam Gavar is a temporary psak. It's not a permanent psak. Kol the Olam Gavar means we're going to allow someone to continue and life will go on as if it's his yacht. But we never actually assume that it's his yacht. It may be his yacht, but we have no way of knowing that. So in the meantime, he's traveling the seven seas with this yacht, and we're going to say nothing. Why? Because he beat up his friend. He beat the living daylights out of him. But if his friend brings testimony, then at that point, we're going to take it away from the muhzak, right? The one who is all in gavar, and we're going to beat the living daylights out of him if he doesn't cough up the yacht. Because now we have proof. So we're anticipating proofs. If we're anticipating proofs, let's find a psak that's only temporary. See, if you cut the talus in half, that's pretty much irreversible. And if you take Manashlish and you give it to someone, that person has it. But in the case of Ahu Arva, we have a registered memoir, so to speak, in the archives of the municipality that we're only granting to him on a temporary basis. Anyway, we see from the Rishonim, and that's the paragraph that starts Nimtza, that the machlokus is, what is the reason for Yachloku? Is it because of that Tfisa, and that's the Das of Rav Rishonim, or according to the Rivah? It's not because of Ochazin that we say Yachloku, but the Yachloku is a Psak Bezdin Mimokum Safeg, just that the Rivah said that we can avoid such a Psak of Yachloku in the case of Avadei Ramai. But nevertheless, we see clearly, according to the Rivah, that there is a very strong justification for applying the din of Yachloku to a Safek. And the two mutual or respective tfisos are going to cancel each other out. We're not going to build anything on these tfisos. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. You see the paragraph that starts Bidas Rov Rishonim, and Belineta will pick that up tomorrow. What now I want to do is talk to you a little bit about Basa B'Cholah.